So in Yom Kippur, there are a few main services, avodos. The first thing is the ketores, that the Kohen Gadol, he brings the incense into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Now, ketores, I want to explain the significance of that ketores, it says in the davening, you say in the morning that usually the 11 spices which make the ketores, which we bring every day in the Mizbeach, it makes a nice smell. They're very fine. The powder is a very fine powder. But every Yom Kippur, they put it back into the grinder to make it super fine. Very, 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 very fine powder. So, the Gemara says that the 11 spices, 10 of them have a very good smell, and then the one of them, the chalbana, by itself, it doesn't have a good smell, but if you mix it with the other 10, it gives it a certain pungency, a certain kick, I guess, and that makes everything smell very good. But by itself, it doesn't smell good. It's only together with the other 10. Okay. So he said like this. He says that the 10 spices which smell good, these are the 10 Jews mentioned in Parshas Nitzavim. Ato, Vincha, Vitecha. That there was, basically, the number 10 is like a number which is kola. In other words, you count from 1 to 10 and then you start over again, another 10. So 10 is like an all-inclusive number. And it's 10, so 10 types of very good Jews, let's say. The 11th, the chelbana, is not such a good Jew, he doesn't have such a good smell. But if you make everything very thin, which means that everything is mixed together very, very well, so when you mix together all the 10 good Jews with this one Jew who's not by itself so good, but everything gets mixed together very, very well so that it actually becomes one entity, it mixes so nicely together that it becomes one entity, then everything smells good. So basically, the key to the, what he's saying is that the key to the kapara of Yom Kippur, first thing the Kohen Gadol does, being into the Kodesh Kedoshim, is the fact that all the Jews are united together, as if they were one. There's Ava, the Ava of one Jew to all the other Jews in the world, his minion and everybody else. That makes it possible to bring every Jew into the group, even Jews that by themselves may not be such big tzaddikim. Now, this idea of grinding the spices means that a person has to grind himself, and he has to remove from himself his own ego to make himself very, very thin, very humble. And then he can join with other Jews. The Zohar says, if you want the Shama, the soul to shine, you have to grind up the body. In other words, that the goodness of the Jew comes through when his personal body is becoming unimportant, and this creates the unity of all the Jews in the world. And how do you create that unity? If you feel good about what the other person's doing. If you're upset with him, if you have complaints against him, then you can't really be completely united. So by grinding up your own interests, your own self-centered interests, you're able to appreciate what the other people are doing and you become united with them. Basically, he says, now let's say there is a person as a chelbana type that really seems that he's not such a good guy. So how, what's the trick to how to get to love him at such a level as if you and he are one? So he says, I think you have to think about a certain mashal, a certain analogy. Let's say you have a friend who's a great guy, and then one day he gets a mental illness. And in this mental illness that this fellow gets, your friend gets, he hits everybody, he breaks the windows. So what would be your reaction? He's a very good friend, you wouldn't have hated him, but now he's going crazy, breaking windows and screaming at people. You would have a lot of mercy, you would feel bad for him that unfortunately he's lost his mind. He's not the same person he used to be. And he would try his best. You would try your best to get him well, not to embarrass him. So the same way a person should look at a Jew who seems to be a sinner, maybe he's doing bad things. Gemara says, "Ein adam over aveilum kenichnas baruach shtus." Person sins, must be that some craziness got into him. You see, look, that evil side which took control of him is not really him. It's like a fit of lunacy. He lost his mind. And you have to think that Yom Kippur, everybody's doing tshuva. So even this person, you may not see what's going on inside, but you have to think that inside him, he's certainly doing tshuva, and he wants to be better, and Hashem is helping him do tshuva. So that will make you have even more mercy on him. And the further away he is, the more you feel bad for him, that he's not behaving the way he really wants to behave. And even if someone actually did bad things to you, in your body or for your money, you should think that this is some kind of lunacy, it's not his real mental state. And he's just lost his mind, that's why he's hurting other people. But you have to try your best to get him to be better and to feel good for him and feel some sympathy for him. If you get this level of being united with every Jew in the world, then we get the Kapara of Yom Kippur, then we get the Kapara. That's why before we begin Yom Kippur, there's a prayer before Kol Nidre called Tefillah Zaka, just in Ashkenaz Mahzorim. That Tefillah, the end of it, has a very beautiful section where we forgive everybody for anything they ever did to us, because we'd like them to forgive us. We want to get the unity of the Jewish people. So that's the idea of the Kapara of the Ketores. Okay. Now we'll talk about the second carbon that stands out on Yom Kippur, and that's the Soyer, Azazel, that sent the goat off the cliff. So there are two goats, and one, and they're both sort of twins. One of the goats winds up as a carbon, its blood is poured inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the other one is a goat that's sent away and thrown off a cliff. That goat, just the soul of Azazel, that is the biggest kapara of Am Yisrael, it forgives all the sins. The goat which goes inside is Mechaber for being Matami, the base of Mikdash. Somehow they're twin, it's a joint kapara. Now, the thing is that a person himself is a base of Mikdash, he's a temple. He's a place where Hashem resides within him. Anytime a person has bad thoughts, he's basically defiling the base of Mikdash. OK? Okay. So now the thing is that in the din of tumma, the din of tumma is that a person becomes tumma inside the Beis Hamikdash. If he runs out right away, he's butter. If he stays there, then he's chayim. Sometimes you become tumma. You became tumma through some accident. So the din is, it depends how long you stay. If you stay very long in the Beis Hamikdash, so then you have an aveira. If you run out, it's not aveira. So the same thing, if a person has a bad thought, if he gets rid of the thought right away, it's not an aveira. But if he continues thinking about it, so that's already like becoming tame in the Beis Hamikdash and not getting rid of that tumma. So, depends, this is the question, how quickly does he get away from his bad thoughts? Now, so the goat which blood is poured inside the Beis Hamikdash means it's a holy carbon. Supposed to teach us that in order for us to purify our own Beis Hamikdash, which is within us, we should be bringing holy things into it. We should be thinking about Torah and doing mitzvahs. And by thinking about doing good things of Kedusha, this is how we purify ourselves. Same way that that soya, which goes into the Kodesh Kedashim, purifies the Beis Hamikdash of any tumah.
So the Kedusha spreads
right
from the inside out.
Inside out, very good. So the soil azazel is an outside goat. So the Gemara says that first you do the inside goat, bring the blood inside, and then you can send the soil azazel outside. In other words, first purify your thoughts inside, make a commitment to the Kedusha, then you'll see that your actions will become good also. That inside goat creates Kedusha inside a person's heart, and the outside goat is to actually turn it into action. That's why after Yom Kippur we go to Sukkah. Sukkah is the most mitzvahs of any Jewish holiday, because we're ready to do a lot of mitzvahs once we purified our inner souls. When you finish Yom Kippur, you have a lot of simcha because you have purification from all your sins and you're starting again. And you celebrate really the holiday of Sukkot, which is the Chag of Simcha. The Matzah Yom Kippur is also a very big moment of simcha. The person has that feeling of purification, which he got from Yom Kippur. Then he goes to Sukkot, where he does all the mitzvahs with purity. So he says, and suddenly you can think of it, that Yom Kippur is like the mind, you purify your mind, and Sukkot is the heart. So that's when you're full of the emotional happiness. So let's review what we said here. That there's a process. The process is at the beginning of Yom Kippur or Erev Yom Kippur, when you get into Yom Kippur, you're abandoning your own personal agendas in order to be united with every other Jew in the world, and you're trying to think that every Jew in the world is good and pure. And this way, you're able to forgive them and they're able to forgive you. Then on Yom Kippur, you get Kedusha, you get a holiness within yourself. You feel that holiness of the day, holiness of the prayers, and the holiness of being close to Hashem and His love for us and our love for Him. So that creates this holiness awareness, which purifies the inside. And then we're making a commitment that our outside, our actions will be good, and that we demonstrate on Sukkot. You do all the mitzvahs of Sukkah, and actually you leave your house and go into a Sukkah, so you're showing that really you're completely dedicated not to yourself, but to do good deeds, do mitzvahs. That's the process. The process is getting away from self-centeredness, purification and holiness, and then commitment to do good things the rest of the year. That's what's going on. That's the many of the prayers we're praying for other people, for Am Yisrael, and for purification, for holiness, and then for the strength to do mitzvahs as we go through the year. Very good.